Which also comes to play in why it's important to educate people. Like, we really need to let them know, hi, our earth is dying. Let's please take care of it, you know?
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not represent the views of the Organization of American States, its Secretary General, or the member states. Keep listening to learn more of this new episode.
Welcome to a new episode of The Zone Podcast that serves as a platform for a constructive dialogue between those of us who live in the adjacency zone on relative issues with the local perspective presented by Young People for Belize and Guatemala under the coordination of the OAS office in the adjacency zone and with the support of the Spanish Agency for International Development Cooperation.
So today we will be talking about the local initiatives for better community management in areas such as water transportation and land revitalization.
That's right. We'll also be referring to the projects that two national organizations are carrying out in these areas. In the case of Belize, we have Friends for Conservation and Development, FCD, and in Guatemala, we have the Association BALAM. Both organizations work with the objective of conserving our natural heritage and promoting rural development.
We're more than ready to start with this wonderful topic today, and we hope you all pay attention, and we remind you that you can share your opinions with us on the subject at the number on screen, 501-610-6284.
As always, let's explain to our dear listeners what we mean when we talk about conservation. So according to the Pennsylvania National Resource Conservation Service, conservation is the protection, preservation, management, and restoration of natural environments and the ecological communities that inhabit them.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Azer, for sharing this definition with us. Is there any other term that we should know?
Of course, I'm going to refer now to sustainability. This is a very common word, which is quite simply means managing resources to meet the needs of today without jeopardizing the needs of the future.
It is very important for us to know about sustainability, as it is something we can and should apply to different areas of our lives. Do you know or have heard about the term anthropogenic?
Anthropogenic is kind of the changing of the natural environment. However, it's not so natural because it's actually caused by human activity. So, for example, desert areas that are becoming now overpopulated with a lot of cityscapes, that's anthropogenic because it's really not natural for all of these railways, cityways to be out in the desert. So it's really human change.
Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing this information with us. Now, to rephrase what Azer says, according to young people in front of the climate change, it referred to all effects, result of processes that are consequences of human actions. For example, agricultural activities in a piece of land are anthropogenic factors of soil and rock erosion in the area.
Hey, that's really cool. It's always pretty rewarding to learn about new concepts. I think we are ready to focus more on the topic for today.
Something very important that we should highlight to start today's discussion would be that no two communities, towns, or villages are alike.
I do think that by keeping this in mind, we also realize that they also have their different challenges, and each community grows and population increases. There are challenges such as waste management and pollution.
Yes, and we most understand that those changes are the result of rapid population growth without planning.
It must be recognized that this rapid growth is actually taking place all over the world. According to the World Bank, 70 out of 100 people in the world will live in cities by 2050.
Well, I mean, this is a really interesting and impressive data we have right here. Now, we're seeing here that around 2050 persons will be living in the city. Now, what do you think about the city life?
City life's pretty cool. I definitely think people are attracted to it in terms of the convenience. It's basically having everything at your fingertips all at once. But I personally do prefer living in smaller towns, big open spaces. I feel like that's just where I could be more relaxed and have that calm and quiet environment that me and my family just really enjoy so much.
That's right. I mean, I personally have already lived in the city, and it's quite complicated because, yeah, as you said, we have we can get everything like really close, and I had my job nearby, university nearby, but there was once I remember I lived around, I don't know, 10 kilometers maybe from where I was staying, and then there was once it took me 3 hours to get home, 10 kilometers.
Wow. Why? Traffic?
Yeah, because it was raining and then the traffic, so
I guess that's something that comes with really overpopulated cities like that. There's just so much traffic. And I think, like we mentioned before, it is very important for all these larger cities, mega cities, to have plans in action to be able to accommodate so much people.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, to continue with today's topic, we'll be talking about different transformative actions in the area of water, housing, and soil revitalization can lead our communities to be examples of sustainability. Now, what do you think has been the effect of our anthropogenic footprint in relation to water?
I think everyone, or at least I would hope those listening to us today, know the importance of water. And even though we live in towns along the Mopan River, you can see the impact of our communities on water systems, distribution, and pollution.
Now, I have a really good example here. Normally, when the water goes out for a few hours during the day, it causes an awful sensation that makes us reflect for those hours that sometimes when we have the water available, we do not give it the importance and we waste it.
Definitely. I think we see it in our communities. I know that sometimes in my household, you know, the water cuts out for a few minutes. It becomes really, it's like, oh no, the water is gone. You know, I need to wash. We use it for stuff as wash, just simple stuff as washing hands, brushing our teeth, taking showers. And it's really one of those things where like, you really need to appreciate when you have it, you know?
Most definitely. Now, here on the other side, in Melchor, mm-hmm. it's quite different because we only have our water for maybe 1 or 2 hours in the morning, and then in the evening, maybe 1 hour. So okay. We're most used to it, but mm-hmm. it do happen that sometimes it's like 2 days without any water, and it's definitely the worst thing in the world.
Wow. So I imagine that during those like windows when you guys do have water, you really learn to appreciate those windows of when you guys can have the water, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we will think, but there's some persons who definitely still don't get it.
Okay, gotcha. So definitely important to remember, you know, some of these important resources that seem very familiar to us in our day-to-day lives, they can easily, just as easily disappear, you know? So definitely never take any of these amazing resources for granted. I know we talked about some people who take a water for granted, but you know, there actually are individuals out there who are doing amazing things to preserve water. I know a lot of people in my neighborhood who actually collect rainwater. My grandmother is a huge rainwater collector, so she has her drums and she's always collecting rainwater and also doing so in like a very in a very healthy way, because she of course covers the drums with cloth. That way it prevents mosquitoes and bugs from getting in. So it's like a really nifty on her end as well. So anytime the water does cut off, we have with what to like, you know, we have what to wash our dishes and stuff, washing our hands. And even the rainwater is amazing. Fun fact, rainwater is amazing for showering your pets with. So there's a fun fact there for you.
Yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing is, for example, we're talking about how here in Melchor we don't have water that, I mean, all day, mm-hmm. but there are some villages that they don't have water at all. So normally what they do, there are some places where you can actually do a well. Okay. That way you can have water and they use it for drinking, for mm-hmm. washing. I mean, that's all they have. And then also collecting rainwater, as you mm-hmm. were mentioning. Now, let me tell you that not only does the water become scarce, but also that the water quality decreases for us and for the aquatic life in our rivers, which are also affected by the increased pollution that is discharged at the time of heavy rain.
So actually, I know in lots of communities along the Mopan River, that's their only source of water for a lot of them throughout the entire year. And, you know, around this time of year when there are heavy rains, you know, when the river becomes polluted, it really takes away their only source of water. So it really shows how dire and important water is to everyone's lives. And it's a real struggle for them to keep on moving forward.
Yes, we should also mention that it's not only because of water pollution, but it started out with land pollution because it's mm-hmm. all the garbage and things would show in the street, they would always, always end up in the rivers.
Mm-hmm. So like a good, just a good reminder that it's important to use water and preserve it as much as you can when you can.
Now, when we take a look to the buildings in our communities, the way they are built says a lot about the way we see and we think. As it is common to see small houses with nice gardens in every neighborhood, but we also have neighbors who have a very messy yard full of garbage.
I think it is something that we young people should keep in mind since we are the next ones looking for a house or to build our own houses. I know if you take a look at the way houses are being built today, lots of people are really taking advantage of every single space in their houses. I remember I used to watch YouTube videos about travelers who would go to just stay at apartments in Japan. It would be these tiny, tiny apartments where the bed would also double as the sofa. And, you know, they'd have these tiny kitchens, like really minute, small spaces.
Yeah, I think I've seen them. And they're like really small. Normally you have that space in your bathroom.
Mm-hmm. And then it's crazy because lots of people's lifestyles are also traveling. And I know there's also places where outside in more in Europe where they have these hotels, which are just pods where you sleep in just like a pod overnight. And that's where these people are conducting their businesses meetings from, or when they go out abroad to travel for work, they just sleep in pods. It really goes to show that in today's day and age, housing is also becoming so scarce, and it's important that we acknowledge that as well.
Yes, and also, I mean, we should mention that today, our generation, it's harder for it to get a piece of land, and then they're really expensive, to be honest.
Not only that, but just building a home is becoming more expensive, which is why I think the way we build our houses, we build them with intent for everything to have a purpose.
That's totally right. And finally, the third area is the soil revitalization, because with more population, waste disposal also occurs.
Unfortunately, this is due to poor garbage disposal and accumulation of waste in urban and rural areas. When you think about it, Belize is just kind of starting to catch up with proper waste disposal. I think we do still have a long ways to go. I know before we actually had waste disposal, like actual buildings for that, we just had landfills that were just sitting out in these areas by the highway. And any person who would drive by there, you would just get a whiff of that glorious smell of garbage.
I can imagine. And it's hard because in our society, people were really not that used to use the garbage cans. Mm-hmm. Because you can see it in the park, or at least in Mature, I've seen it, that there's garbage cans. Mm-hmm. But then people, they're just throwing it as on their way.
Yeah, which also comes to play in why it's important to educate people. Like, we really need to let them know, hi, our earth is dying. Let's please take care of it, you know?
So many times, we also see that at the time of constructing, a cleanup of the habitat or land is cleared out.
I'm not sure if you've heard of lots of huge companies buying out pieces of the Amazon in Brazil just to build their gigantic company buildings. Lots of these environments, homes to all these larger ecosystems are just being teared down just to create something like parking lots. And it's really disheartening to hear about that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And we were also mentioning at the beginning that people will be moving for the city, but we also need to be conscious that the city is also moving to us in our small town, because they're not as small as we thought.
Mm-hmm. And then I definitely think that with all these consequences of us destroying our natural life, we really have to start imposing more policies as to acknowledge, listen, we're about to do this. What consequence will this have on our environment? I think we really need to start looking at the bigger picture when it comes to destroying a lot of our natural resources.
Yeah, and definitely great information for us to mention here. Now, we have a video coming up with the initiative called Utsche from Guatemala, and we'll be back to talk about the actions of two national organizations.
Communities protecting natural reserves during centuries, but living in poverty. And we want our people to improve livelihoods, do it based in keeping and protecting forests. During the last 5 years, we have been gathering the community's position around the Guatemalan forest policies. We had some public subsidies programs, but the main users during the last 12 years of that programs are big landowners. So we communities distributed in all over the country in small farms and communal lands. We developed that struggle trying to have a more equitable access to incentives. So last year we passed a law creating a new program aimed to small landholders, to indigenous farmers, to support them to do forestry, to have incentives and to develop livelihoods in agroforest systems.
So we're back after watching this short video, which was definitely a good research for us to focus now on what is being done in our communities about water, housing, and the waste management issues.
I definitely think it was an interesting video. I love what they're doing in providing these rural communities with the incentives necessary to teach them and educate them on why it is important to take part in this environmental movement, why we should be preserving our environment and try our best to really live in harmony with nature. I definitely think that lots of these people who do live in these rural communities do know about nature a lot, but it's great for them to know how it really goes out and impacts our world on a greater scale as well.
Indeed, and we should highlight that most of the communities working in this, it's with indigenous people, because mm-hmm. they have, it's part of their culture. They mm-hmm. just respect nature above anything.
Definitely. And also one thing that they also did mention was that they were providing them with information necessary, like education on agroforestry, which I think is pretty cool. You know, not many people from rural environments would have the opportunity. So it's great that they have access to this new set of tools and information. And hopefully it does allow them to really take on a different perspective on where they're living, you know.
Indeed, I mean, we should all take the example.
Definitely, for sure. The fascinating thing about these two organizations is that they have sought ways to collaborate and thus have better impacts on communities in two very different countries. Friends for Conservation and Development recruit volunteers who participate locally in global initiatives such as Rainforest Week, World Environment Day, Earth Day, and International Water Day. These are pretty cool events. I love that they celebrate and highlight the importance of some of our natural resources. I know that for sometimes, the Rotaract Club of Benquevejo, for example, they take the time to celebrate Environment Day by, you know, just like sharing out posts and, you know, spreading awareness as well. I do think Oceana in Belize also acknowledges World Water Day, which I think is pretty cool. How about Guatemala? Do you know if they do anything to acknowledge these days?
Well, in Guatemala, yes, but here directly or specifically in Melchor, mm-hmm. people are really not much aware of these days. Or maybe they know, but they just don't really understand mm-hmm. what's the main point of celebrating these days.
And then I think it also comes back into play, just spreading awareness. I feel like that is also a really helpful thing to do. Flyers, social media posters, sharing around a video links, you know, just making people aware can sometimes have a really huge impact.
I'd like to tell our listeners about Asociación Balam in Guatemala, which is a non-governmental organization that was created with the objective of promoting rural development through the strengthening of development of education, food security, nutrition, and reproductive health projects.
It's good to know that there are organizations that are active in making our communities more sustainable for the future.
And here's another informative report on Yaxha's experience in Belize. We'll be back with the last segment of this episode.
Yaxha has been working with indigenous communities from since 1998. This sums up to 22 years of bringing smart agricultural practices in the lives of community members. Here at Yaxha, we promote agroforestry, Ingali cropping, and beekeeping, all compromise of sustainable farming practices that communities are now using to generate income for their families. We are proud to say that we work with 120 farmers and their families in the Maya Golden Landscape that are now benefiting from such practices, whether that be the development of value-added products such as cacao nibs, cocoa powder, chocolate, raw honey, etc. There is indeed a drive to balance harmony between nature and human development for the benefit of both. Nuestra tierra, nuestros bosques, gobernanza forestal de pueblos indígenas y comunidades is one of the many contributors to the work that Yaxche does with communities in the Maya Golden Landscape. We take the opportunity to thank them for their many contributions towards the work that Yaxche exercises in the Maya Golden Landscape.
Di rosil ya uyma ukjokin hain nak kamjak di tuminre renak kuang katuminre sakakwa katherun.
The good thing about this type of farming is that it brings income that is important for buying food, household needs, payment of bills, and education expense for my children.
Di rosil si nakwila ina nak kuang sa si nakterjak nakshinjob sa kahalak nakhlan si atok.
Another benefit of doing this farming is that it is different from what I used to do in the past, where I clear and burn forest for milpa, and every year I needed to clear for a new plot and use herbicide. Now I see what I'm doing is better.
So I feel like I know I'll benefit out of the cacao because I not tried it yet. But since I start to plant, then now I see the benefit of it because I was marketing and I was use it for my home use. I make chocolate and I do my chocolate drink and everything it's benefit me. One day when I was starting to think about farming, I feel like I will not benefit out of it, but now I could see the benefit out of it. Because I sell my cacao and even the company buy it from me fresh, and also I dry some for myself for home use. I say I will quit to use the chemicals. So I say I will go organic for my health, for my family health. So I think about it. So I totally change. So I start to do farming organic now. So I do my cacao organic. I plant whatsoever I do, my corn organic, my beans organic, my coffee organic, my everything, my cane, everything is organic, so no longer I use chemical. So now I am benefit out of it, even since when I start to work this farm here, and I feel my health, that I still feel healthy, and I still feel strong.
Sain sa nakha khain na bale ba shulon ke sain ma ke ba halau ma ke ba khai ke so ma ke ba ak ma ke ba.
On this farm you can find lots of wildlife. This includes gymnat, chachalaka, pikiri, monkeys, and the agouti that walks around and eat fruits. There are a lot of wildlife that eat under the canopy.
Wana kui alkanak siru eling kastain le. Oh, kuang kya halau, kuang kya halau. Pasahish nak kube nak jaling wa kue in. Nusho cap takin si toh ciri si kau. Aha, kawan apa ke ma kun cikin si nak kuang. Ani tenek kiri sing kiri yel rehish angko. Wa kun cikin si, ya.
I harvested two under my fruit tree over there. Oh, there is plenty of gibnat. In regards to the jaguar, it walks on my trail and comes very close to my house where it took my dogs. Right now, I don't have any dogs. The tapir has made a trail through my anato field. In addition, we see deer, peccaries, and plenty of birds, including the toucans and the arpendulas. These are some of the wildlife that I see on my farm.
March.
In March too, you harvest the beans?
Yeah, while I harvest the beans and then I harvest the annatto together.
Right now you're harvesting cacao?
Right now I'm harvesting cacao right now. Mm-hmm. I have, every week I harvest 3 to 4 buckets of cacao and then I used to sell it to organization, but they stop by, but I dry my own cacao. I sell it for $3 a pound right now. This market is there.
Workshop. Pero
Yashche has helped me through the meetings, trainings, and workshops that I have attended. The thing is that these sessions are very good, but it's like going to church where what you hear comes with action. It's similar to the training session that Yashche provides. For me, what I learn, I apply it right here on my farm. I encourage farmers throughout Belize to get into this type of farming because it's easy to do and it's for the long term. You will be harvesting and selling throughout the year, which brings not a lot of money, but enough.
All right, so that was a pretty interesting video. I loved it. I think one of the standout highlights to me was the way the farmer was actually able to farm sustainably, and through that he was actually able to, that would make his livelihood, he was able to pay off for his students' education, pay off you know, just his living expenses, which I think is pretty cool, and goes to show that you can be environmentally sustainable while also you know, making a livelihood for yourself.
It's not only about harvesting, but mm-hmm. also knowing what to harvest, mm-hmm. because each plant will take different minerals from the soil. Mm-hmm. So you need to give the soil time for it to recover those minerals, which is losing, instead of just doing one kind of plant, for example, with the milpas, he mm-hmm. was saying.
Definitely. And I think with creating these milpas, it just cuts out a lot of ecosystems, cutting down a lot of trees, which causes a lot of other such environmental problems, you know, like such as erosion when you think about it. And if you're burning all of these trees down to make fields, then you're also creating a lot of carbon in the air, and then you're causing forest fires, you're destroying, you're killing flora and fauna. It's like there's more than one problem when it comes to unsustainable farming. Something else that was really cool is that we were able to see these farmers who once were farming in maybe an unsustainable way go about and change the way they conduct their craft, really. So it goes to show that there are possible ways for you to take what you're doing and make it work towards protecting the environment. I believe the impacts of climate change include increased droughts or heavy rains, such as we have been seeing recently. Both types have affected water availability. So therefore, I believe efforts should be made to conserve and use water efficiently.
As part of the promoting water conservation, we can create a water efficiency demonstration in our homes or public gardens.
Also, I think a good idea to promote water conservation would also be to promote the growth of native and drought-tolerant or low-volume irrigation plants. These plants would help conserve the river basins and also reduce water demands for plants.
In addition to all this you were mentioning, we can also continue to provide educational resources to encourage residents in our communities to collect rainwater, as we were mentioning previously.
Yeah, so switching the topic to possible methods of soil revitalization, one of the most common actions is cleanups in our communities, whereby performing these activities, we create awareness to turn these places into sustainable and welcoming productive environments. Benke, I think, is a bit more fortunate in that area, where we do have a few youth groups around in town that actually go out and conduct riverside cleanups, which is pretty cool. But similar to what you mentioned, you know, there can be cleanups conducted, but are we really targeting the issue, which is people, you know, going to the riverside and polluting it, right? So definitely it's something, there's stuff we could do, but how do we prevent this completely, you know? And Also, to any of our viewers who are watching, if you guys know of any initiatives that are going on in your communities that are helping to protect our waterways, definitely drop a comment and let us know what's going on. And it would be, we'd love to hear what you guys have to say. So having that said, what is certain is the governments can also accelerate and advance these initiatives we mentioned. But for now, it's always good to start planning and look for other young people who have the same interests and become part of the change we need.
We've reached the end of this episode, and we hope that you have learned a new fact, because we definitely did, and that you will put into practice what most caught your attention in this episode.
We'd also like to thank the Spanish Agency for International Development Cooperation and the Organization of American States for the space for dialogue between young people from Guatemala and Belize.
We invite you to follow us on Twitter at OEA Belize Guate.
Stay tuned for more and subscribe to receive notifications about the next episode of The Zone Podcast.
It was a pleasure and have a wonderful day.
Bye.